Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Puck face back. Ellis got it. He scored. Ellis comes over. A puck slid out from the top of the circle. Drilled into the net. It's a tie game. And now the one-timer by Yarncroft. And on the rebound, they get it in the net. Predators tally on the power play to take a 3-2 lead. Bonino sends the puck out, and that's going to do it. A scoreless third period. Predators win the game 3-2.
Well, I think they've been, I think just the ability to stick with it and go through different things. You know, I think even you look at tonight, wasn't necessarily the best start for us. I think Ottawa came out, played hard, and wound up getting a lead, but were able to respond. And I think really figuring out as games continue to go on that there's certain things we have to do better. The guys are responsive to it, and it seems as though when things go well, we stay with it. But also the responses when things don't go well, I'd say more consistent and more focused on what needs to get done the right way.
Big night last night for the Nashville Predators, a 3-2 win against the Ottawa Senators, and they're back in a playoff spot for the first time since November 13th, which is crazy to say that this year with the talent that they have, but that's the season that they've had this year. But now, when it really matters, 20 games left in the season, they're back in a playoff spot. We'll see if they can hold on to that as time moves on here. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic this morning. And Adam, the game last night for the Predators, I didn't think they played great, especially in the first period, but they took it over a little bit more after that, found ways to win games, found a way to be productive on the power play last night, two power play goals, and that's something they've struggled with all season. We've talked about special teams having to be better and having to make sure that they have positive impacts on the Predators as they move ahead here. Last night, good step in that direction. Penalty kill was pretty good for the most part. And the two power play goals, which is something that has not happened very often for them so far this year.
No. As we talked about earlier, that was the sixth time this season that the Predators have scored multiple power play goals in a game. And even last year, too. At 5-on-5, the Predators are a good team. You look at their underlying numbers, they are solid at 5-on-5. But they have some of the worst special teams in the NHL. Of course, we know they finished last in the power play last season. They're not very far off from that now. I don't know where they are at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't talked about that quite as much this year because they're not as horrible on the power play as they were a season ago. But
yes,
it's still been a pretty big problem for this group.
The penalty kill has been a larger concern because I believe it was a top 10 unit last year.
It was.
And now it's near the bottom of the league.
Right.
So the power play continues to struggle, but the penalty kill has been worse. So perhaps that has sort of taken the heat off the power play. But
right now the Predators at 24th in the league on the power play at 16.7%,
okay,
which is much better than 31st, I suppose.
Yes. I mean, they had one of the worst power plays in the salary cap era last year, which is unfathomable when you think of the talent that they have on that power play. But you saw last night the difference that special teams can make in a game. They needed that goal from Ryan Ellis. They got that goal on the doorstep from Victor Arvidsson. That made the difference in the game. We very rarely have seen in the past couple years the Predators score big power play goals to tie games or take leads, and we saw that last night. And they were able to take the lead and then clamp down just enough to secure the victory, and as we mentioned multiple times, enter a playoff spot for the first time since before American Thanksgiving, which is a long time because there. I don't have the statistic in front of me, but Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet, who is on with Darren, Donick, and Chase every Thursday, has a statistic where the number of teams that aren't in playoff spots at American Thanksgiving that end up making the playoffs, the percentage is low.
Very low.
So the Predators were not in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving. So if they are able to make the playoffs despite not being in a playoff spot in late November, you know, the odds were against them from doing so. But 9-4-1 in their past 14 games, had to do the quick math to make sure I had the number right, 9-4-1 in their past 14 games. As we talked about earlier, tied for the second best record in the Western Conference since late January when that 9-4-1 stretch started with the win on the road against the Washington Capitals. So they are on the right track. As David Poile said on Monday, they are headed in the right direction. But getting power play goals at key moments could be a huge difference for this team, which is something we haven't seen from them in at least a couple years.
615-737-1025. Again, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. Give us a call. Give us a text. We have a text from Casey in the Borough that says, "My confidence level in the Predators is middling. What's the comparison to where we are in the standings this season versus the 2017 Stanley Cup run?" And Adam, I actually looked at this last week. I think last week there was just a 2-point difference in where the Predators were in the standings then compared to where they are now in terms of the standings. And the Predators have done nothing but really collect points in games since then. So my guess would be, without knowing exactly where they are in comparison to 2017, they're either in the exact same spot they were in 2017 during this time, or maybe a point or two difference either way. So not really that far off from where they were in 2017 when, of course, they made the magical run to the Stanley Cup Final. Now, having said that, that's great. That doesn't mean that if you hang around at the same point-per-game pace this year and end up in the same spot in the standings, that you're just going to blow your way through the playoffs again. There's still a lot this group needs to do to improve as they move forward here.
Right, and the expectations between the two teams are different. So to answer your question, the Predators are 31-23-8 through 62 games for 70 points. Through 62 games in the year that they made it to the Stanley Cup, they were at 31-22-9. So that quick math is 71.
So almost the exact same
place.
Yeah,
so they have one more point through 62 games. They have one fewer point through 62 games this season than they did in 2016-17 when, of course, they made it to the Stanley Cup Final. But, you know, while that is an easy comparison to make, and I completely understand it, you know, the team was in a different place then versus now in terms of the investment that was made in this group, the amount of money on the salary cap, the caliber of player. You know, that team in 16-17 at that time, you know, being around that mark, okay, it made a little sense.
Right.
It wasn't out of the ordinary. This team is clearly underachieving, despite now being in a playoff spot. So you have to keep that in mind. But it goes back to what we've always talked about in the NHL, more so than any other league in professional sports. The potential for upsets in the Stanley Cup playoffs is higher than any other team. Any other league.
Yeah.
Like, if an NBA team gets in at eighth,
they're not winning. It's happened like one time in my lifetime.
They'll be lucky to make it to five games.
Right.
In the NHL, anything is possible. So that's why I think if the Predators can get in playing their best hockey, it sets themselves up for a potential upset in the first round.
Let's go to Mark, who's called in wanting to talk about the Preds. Mark, you go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Quick question. All past few years, all we've heard about is Elie Tolvanen. Maybe it's just me. Hadn't heard much about him this year. Just wondering how he's doing, if he's a guy that could be called up, the expanded rosters, just kind of spark he can make, and if he fits into the Hines system. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. You're right, because we had a lot of talk about Elie Tolvanen in training camp this year. He lost 15 pounds. He looked like a different player, a more quick player. I said more quick, a quicker player at training camp this year. And I thought he had a pretty good training camp, and really when he didn't make the team out of camp, I wasn't surprised, but I did think, you know, if he goes down to the American Hockey League, plays well with the Admirals for a month, month and a half, he's going to be back up here at the NHL relatively soon and relatively quickly. And it just really hasn't transpired for Elie Tolvanen. I think he's played better as of late, but it was a very slow start for him this year offensively from a production standpoint in Milwaukee. And I think that's noteworthy because pretty much everybody in Milwaukee this year has had a very good year. They're the best team and the American Hockey League, but it was a slower start for Tolvanen this season to start training camp. And I do think fans are starting to get worried. Hey, I mean, is this guy going to be as good as we all thought he was going
to
be?
Well, I went to visit Elie Tolvanen. I went to see the Milwaukee Admirals earlier this month, and I wrote a story, of course, about Elie Tolvanen, which you can find at theathletic.com. And I was really struck by something that the Admirals coach, Carl Taylor, said, and I'll read it here. He said, quote, "I'm not going to teach Tolvanen how to score, let's be honest. He's an elite goal scorer. He's got a $1 million shot. We just need to help him move through and try to get some confidence and make him feel good about what he's doing. The one thing that they've shown him is that he leads this team, he leads the Admirals, excuse me, in primary scoring chances. He is seventh in the AHL in shots on goal." Yep. So the shot mentality is very much there. He definitely had some bad puck luck in terms of a low shooting percentage early in the season. He has 16 goals now in 56 games. And Carl Taylor, the Admirals coach, sung his praises. He also said, quote, "He's been doing everything we ask, and I'll say he's one of the most coachable players we have. He's very receptive. He wants to be a great player. He knows he's got some talent level and some innate abilities gifted to him, and he wants to take advantage of them." He then later said his teammates, coaching staff, management, everyone is cheering for him because he's a great individual. You're cheering for him because of the person he is and the effort he puts into trying to fix what's not working. When you get your peers cheering for you, you're usually going to land in a good spot. Now, Elli Tolvanen is not going to be the star in the making that we were led to believe when he got here. He had an unbelievable year, his rookie season in the KHL, playing in the World Junior Championships, playing in the Olympics, making his NHL debut late in, was it the 17-18 yep. season? So he was never going to live up to that hype, but he still has a ton of promise. And if he ends up being a secondary scoring threat and a power play specialist for the Predators, that's not a bad place for him to be.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion on the Predators getting back in a playoff spot for the first time since November 13th. In the meantime, give us a call, 615-737-1025. Where's your confidence level at with this group right now? And does getting back into a playoff spot and the approach the Predators took at the trade deadline, has that changed the way you view this team at all? We'll get into that more next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vinyan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinyan from The Athletic. And we've got a pair of tickets to give away.
A pair of tickets
to Five Finger Death Punch at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, May 17th. This show is presented by our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025. Again, that's 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Five Finger Death Punch at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, May 17th.
So what you're saying is use those five fingers, not to punch, but to call.
But to call. I mean, I guess you could punch if you wanted to, but
if you don't win, you can punch.
A little bit of hostile territory at that point.
Phones don't typically work when punched.
Not typically.
Until the iPhone 12 comes out and it's like punch technology.
Yes. We learned something in the break that I think needs to be discussed, and it involves my co-host Adam Vinyan and our producer, Marquise Munson. Munson, Adam's kind of a Twitter snob. Like, he would not follow you on Twitter for the longest. He was like testing you out to see what was going to happen for the rest of the show before he decided whether or not to follow you on Twitter.
It's crazy. I've been here a year now. And you still have not followed me on Twitter until now. Happy anniversary to me, because it's a year since I've been here in Nashville, so thank you.
Is today a full year?
It's either today or tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate
it. We also discovered, if you're out there and you go and look at Adam Vinyan's Twitter right now, go to his likes on Twitter. You will not find it. He's been on Twitter for 10 years and apparently has not found one tweet to be funny.
I just don't
understand. Not found one tweet worthy of being a like.
I don't understand the concept of liking. It does retweets, at least you share the content with other people. You give, if that person says something funny or says something informative, maybe someone that doesn't follow that person sees it in your timeline and follows them. It helps them. Likes don't help anybody. It's just like a
you were such a Twitter snob.
It's just
where
like
did this
pat
come
in the back.
From?
Like, that's a good tweet, guys. I don't know. I have hills that I'm going to die on. And
Adam
liking a tweet is the hill that I am going to die on.
Adam is not here for your positive reinforcement.
No.
He does not care about liking your tweets. He does not care about your feelings, which I respect.
Oh, but one thing I do is I you know, we talked about this on our show, Robbie. The Twitter community, the Predators Twitter community, is an interesting place. And we interact with people, pretty much the same people all the time. I feel like I know a lot of the people that interact with us on Twitter,
yes,
even though I have never met said people. So I may not follow some of you, but I do search your names from time to time just to see what kind of ridiculous stuff you're saying about the local professional hockey team. And man, some of you are
You're not
nuts.
Disappointed.
You're nuts.
I like it.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. Take some responsibility for yourselves. A lot of text to get to on the text line, 615-737-1025. Predators president and CEO Sean Henry will join us at 8:30. We got a text in and says, confidence levels in the Preds are rising, but I'm still not over my hurt. The Sens turned the puck over in the neutral zone constantly last night, so Nashville probably should have scored more, but it seems very similar to the 16-17 year. If you start winning at the right time, good things will happen. And Adam, when Peter Laviolette was coach, he used to talk about how there's not really a magic formula in terms of how you need to be playing or what needs to be happening with your team as you head into the playoffs. But I do think there is something to be said of getting your game figured out, which the Predators at no point this year have really done completely. If they can do that as they head down the stretch here and get into the playoffs, I think they'll be in an interesting position at that point where you could view them as a very dangerous team.
I mean, I think it was during the President's Trophy year, they clinched a playoff spot in like early March. So the last month of the season was basically irrelevant. And even though they were picking up points, and I think they had what, like an 11 or 12 game point streak or something like that? I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. But like they weren't playing particularly well during that stretch. They were getting the points, but you weren't brimming with confidence with the way they were doing it. And then, of course, they ran into the second-best team in the league in the second round and lost to the Winnipeg Jets. So, as we were talking about earlier, you know, if there's been a concern in the past as a fan that the Predators are peaking too soon, you have no such concern this year.
That is correct.
So, if they're playing this well right now, that's a good thing. Versus, you know, last year, for example, they started the season 13-3. And then we're basically a 500 team the rest of the way. This team has been underperforming through most of the season, and now they're starting to play up to their potential. That's a good thing. So perhaps that's why the 2017 vibes are being felt by a lot of the fans. But this team is starting to find a groove which they hadn't had. Remember, they went more than 3 months in between three-game winning streaks. So if this team can get on a bit of a run, especially against the caliber of competition that's coming up, starting with tomorrow's game against the Calgary Flames, I think you have every right to feel, or at least start feeling confident about this team's chances down the stretch.
Got a text on the text line. It says, I always expect to see more dynamic puck handling and speed from Forsberg. Do you see the same thing? Forsberg is an interesting guy to me because he has not scored the entire month of February. I think the last time he scored was on the road against the New Jersey Devils, where he scored twice in that game. But when Forsberg is on, of course he's scoring and he's getting, you know, the points and the production that way. But he just looks different when he's feeling it and he's on out there. He's got the puck on his stick. He's doing things with the puck that nobody else on the Predators can do. He's borderline impossible to knock the puck away from. And I haven't seen a lot of that lately. Now, he hasn't been as bad as some people have pointed out and have tried to make it seem like he's been, just because the production hasn't been there. And make no question about it. I mean, there needs to be production there with Philip Forsberg. He's too talented to go through a stretch like this where you haven't scored a goal for the entire month of February. But I do think most people feel like when he's on his game, there's a speed element to his game and there's a confidence that he has with a puck that I'm not sure is fully there at the moment.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that he hasn't scored a goal in the month of February, considering that
should be his month, right?
Which is supposed to be his month, Philbuary, as some call it. He has 5 assists in 12 games this month. And the thing about Philip Forsberg that I have noticed this season and last season compared to previous years is Philip Forsberg, I think, perhaps more than anybody on the roster, perhaps Roman Josi, but well, let's say forwards, perhaps more than any forward on the Predators roster, has the ability to take over games just based on his sheer talent. And we've seen that. His ability to, as you mentioned, stick handle and puck handle and fight off defenders and throw those reverse checks and score ridiculous goals. We have not seen that from Philip Forsberg in quite some time. The ability to just say, screw it, I'm doing it. And
we saw that a lot in the 2017 playoffs.
Yes.
When they needed a big goal, a lot of times it was Philip Forsberg that was the one that was scoring it.
Yes. So that's the one thing that's of most concern to me, is that Philip Forsberg, we saw it at the beginning of this season when he had that season-opening goal streak, but it just hasn't been there anywhere near as much as I would like from him in the past couple of years. The best players in this league have an ability to just carry their team, and Philip Forsberg definitely has the skill and talent to do so. We just haven't seen it enough.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Predators president and CEO Sean Henry. Obviously, it was a big game for the Predators last night and a big one coming up this Thursday against the Calgary Flames. Preds back in a playoff spot. Calgary just 2 points in front of them. So in terms of regular season games, Thursday night is about as big as it gets for this time of the year. Going to talk to Sean about that. Also, with Nashville SC starting up this weekend as a new franchise in this city, what would be his advice to Nashville SC on how to go about building their fan support and building what I think most people are really excited to see is going to be a fun soccer environment here in the city of Nashville? We'll get into that next with Sean Henry. You're listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam Vingan, a noted Twitter snob. We got to the root of that last thing. We think we've corrected him in that area.
I followed Marquise.
Attaboy. That's how it's done right there.
Thank you. Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible if Adam follows Marquise.
Don't succumb to peer pressure like I did.
Absolutely. It's been a great stretch of hockey for the Predators as of late, points in 6 out of their past 7 games. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good friend Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Sean, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Well, I was a little late because I had to check my own Twitter to see if Adam follows me, and I don't think he does.
I do. I definitely do. Well,
his wife does, so that's all that matters.
Consider yourself in a very exclusive club, Sean.
Well, I am honored. So, how are you guys today?
Doing great, Good, Sean. Thanks for coming on with us. And as I said, Sean, it's been a really impressive stretch of hockey lately for the Predators, points in 6 out of their last 7 games. What have you made of the way the team is playing as of late and the decision by David Poile to largely keep this group together and make a push for the playoffs here?
Well, you know, when we built this team, you know, last summer and into September, we thought we built the best team we ever had assembled. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while to gel. And I think what we're seeing now is the team starting to play the way they thought, you know, they would or they did in October and then continue through the season. So I am a big believer in, you know, you want your team playing their best hockey, you know, going into spring hockey. So it is nice to see. There's still some work to do, obviously. But you see the right trends happening, you know, special teams-wise. Maybe not the exact results we want on the power play consistently, but you see improvement. So it's exciting. It's fun. I also think the best part is, you know, now that we're in a playoff position, obviously a lot of hockey to play and got to convert those games in hand to wins in hand. It's funny how now people are saying, well, big deal, we're in the playoffs. And I love that. I love that people take it for granted we're going to make the playoffs every year, and now what happens? So I think we're in a good position on a lot of fronts. And what we did organizationally for the trade deadline, you know, there's a lot of conversations around it leading into it for about a month out. And a lot of good discussion, a lot of arguments. You know, do you sell? Do you buy? What do you do? And I absolutely love what we did. You know, we kept the team that we thought was going to take us to new places together. And, you know, some of our critics will say, oh, my gosh, you should have traded this guy or that guy because you might not be able to re-sign them. But at the same time, when you buy a rental, no one ever says, why'd you get that rental? You're not going to be able to re-sign them.
Right.
So it's almost like, you know, we kept our UFAs and get what happens in the offseason with them. But hopefully those guys bring us to a place we've never been before.
Sean, it's a really exciting time for our city this week. Nashville SC gets fired up this Saturday. What are your thoughts on Major League Soccer coming to Nashville, and what would your advice be for this new franchise as they introduce themselves to the Nashville sports community here this week?
Well, I think it's pretty well documented. I'm pretty excited about soccer and every franchise that can come to our city. I was fortunate enough to be part of the recruitment group and the welcoming group and the sales team, if you will. And, you know, once John Ingram threw his name on it and then Ian decided to come over to the States and run the franchise, it's hard not to get more and more excited every time they add a piece of how that team is going to be run. And then obviously their draft and super draft has been so exciting. You know, we had their whole team out last night to welcome them to Smashville. I have my custom sweater. I hopefully will be ready by Friday because I'm going to a kickoff party Friday night that I was told was a cocktail casual, but I am going to be wearing my number 7 Henry or number 10 Henry jersey.
As you should.
I'm excited about it. From an advice standpoint, I don't need my advice at all except one thing. This is the best city in the country to operate a sports team. And let's have fun together. Let's grow together. We do a lot of things together. You know, we have their sales booth on our concourse the past couple of games helping them sell tickets. I'm just a big, big believer in if we all come together as sports teams in town and come together as companies in town, we can really do some special things. So I'm excited about it. You know, I'm going to run over there after our game's over. You know, we moved the start time of our game up as early as we could to get out of their window and make that opening night as special as it can be. So I'll be over there at some point after ideally a win Saturday in our building.
Sean Henry on the line with us here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sean, the biggest story in the NHL over the past week is David Ayers, the 42-year-old emergency backup goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes, who came in a situation in a very important game and won against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he's been on a whirlwind media tour ever since. He was honored at the Hurricanes game last night. He made an appearance, I think, on Stephen Colbert a couple nights ago, among other places. Two questions. One, what have you thought about the story of David Ayers? And two, where do you think the league will decide to go with the concept of emergency backup goaltenders? And do you think there needs to be any change to what happens for a team in those situations?
Well, I don't like two-part questions because my answers are too long to remember the second part.
I'm happy to remind you if you need it.
Thank you. On the first part, I love it. I love when we get to celebrate the oddities or uniqueness of our game. I think whenever we could take a guy literally out of the stands, who's obviously a very good athlete, you know, plays a lot of hockey. You know, it wasn't like they, you know, plucked me eating corn dogs in the middle of the game, you know, throw skates on. But obviously not an NHL player. And I think that's the fantasy all of us have. You know, what would it be like if I got the chance to go in there? And, you know, he's practiced with the Marlies. He's practiced with the Maple Leafs. He's practiced with visiting teams. You know, as the third goalie for different things. But to get thrown into a game in the city that you live in, playing the team that you love growing up. I mean, he literally had a Maple Leafs T-shirt on under his uniform. I think it's just so cool. And I love what the Hurricanes are doing. There are a lot of similarities between our two organizations. We work pretty closely together. But for them to celebrate it the way they have, I just think is great. And anyone that doesn't see the fun in that doesn't see the fun in life. And, I mean, let's face it, how many times in the past 20 years has the emergency goalie gone into a game? So for anyone that worries about the integrity of the game or this or that, one just has to look at the visiting team winning in a legendary hockey town to put their fears and concerns away. And most importantly, I think it's a dream we all have. You know, we have four emergency goalies. I pretend I don't know who they are. But I'd love to see one of them get into the game, for the visiting team, by the way, and not for anything serious. But I just think it's a lot of fun. I really do. And the second part of your question was what?
Sorry, I asked if you think the league, there seems to be some interest by the league to discuss the idea or the concept of backup emergency goaltenders and maybe changing the parameters or the qualifications. Do you think that is something that will pick up some steam during Board of Governors conversations and the like?
Well, what I really do like about our league and our Board of Governors meetings, our GM meetings, our competition meetings, is we're not afraid to look at our game and say, you know, what can we tweak? What will we try to improve? And, you know, sometimes we're wrong, but you're going to be wrong when you try to improve things from time to time. So a lot of the conversation about it, but again, I go back to how many times has it actually been used, and is this something that we should really be focusing on that much? At the same time, if you have an opportunity to make sure that the guys are a little bit healthier and you're not going to put anyone in a bad situation, we'll look at it. But I'll tell you, the legendary game the other night, Father Ryan's JV team was up 5-1. Our goalie blew his skates out. Both blades fell off. We had no backup goalie. And we played empty netted for a full second period before we switched the gear to a skater. So there are ways around it, too, without an emergency goalie. But I thought I was going to have to go into that JV game, and I was excited about it.
Predators president and CEO Sean Henry on the line with us. And, Sean, a lot of things going on here over the next little bit. A big game Thursday against the Calgary Flames with playoff implications on the line, but also Preds and Threads coming up on March 17th. How can people get tickets for that if they're interested in going to Preds and Threads, which benefits the Preds Foundation, on March 17th?
Yeah, that's a really fun one. You know, a couple of years ago, the players came and said, let's shake up Nash Vegas. Let's go every other year to keep things fresh, which I just love how much our players give input onto our charity events. And, you know, want to show off, you know, some fun side of the players' personality down the runway, if you will. But, you know, combine it with a charity and have a chance for kids to showcase themselves as well. You know, at the last charity event we had for Preds and Threads, we had a fair amount of wives and girlfriends that were pregnant. And now I think we're going to be able to see those 2-year-olds strutting their stuff, too. So if you don't have your tickets already, there's something wrong with you. Just skate on over to our website, and you can find it right there at NashvillePredators.com. But it really is one of those really, really fun nights, fun auction items. It's a way to let your hair down a little bit. And it's also on a holiday this year. So I don't know how you can celebrate St. Patrick's Day any better than being at Preds and Threads.
Sean Henry has been our guest here on Morning Drive. A big one coming up tomorrow against the Flames. Sean, we appreciate you taking time to come on with us here this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys, and I'm so excited to be part of the Three Amigos, or Three Best Friends, now that the Bash Brothers have expanded by one. So thank you for the inclusion to the club.
Anytime, my friend.
Thanks, Sean.
See you guys. Bye.
When we come back, Adam brought up the emergency goaltending situation in Toronto with Dave Ayers, Carolina having both their goaltenders going down, Dave Ayers having to come in. What do we make of that situation, not only of how cool of a story it was on Saturday night, but should the NHL do anything about that to change what's going on in terms of their emergency goaltenders? We'll talk about that next. But first, Adam, you have a word about a Preds trip to Columbus.
I do. ESPN 102.5 The Game is hitting the road for a Predators game this year. It's off to Columbus to cheer on the Preds as they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets on sale now. To purchase, visit thegamenashville.com. The trip is organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. It should be a good time. I will be at the game. I won't be on the bus, but I will be at the game. And it should be a good game. Bring your earplugs. The cannon goes off unless the Predators have a shutout.
Yes.
Well, it will go off anyway because it goes off when they come off the ice. But a great opportunity to catch a Predators game on the road. Columbus is a great place to do it. March 14th, visit thegamenashville.com for tickets.
And maybe Adam will give you a follow on Twitter. We'll be back next.
Maybe.
Probably not, but you can hope.
We'll be back next to talk about the emergency goaltending situation in the NHL here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Former NHL player and, I guess, party pooper, Chris Versteeg.
Yes.
During Sportsnet's trade deadline coverage on Monday, discussing David Ayers, the emergency backup goaltender who has become a cult figure in the NHL over the past number of days. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Adam Vingan, Robbie Stanley. We just spoke to Sean Henry. We talked about this emergency backup situation and whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea that amateurs, basically beer league goaltenders, are able to play in a game if absolutely necessary. Now, it's expected to be discussed among the general managers. NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly was in Washington, D.C. last night, presumably as part of the ceremony to honor Alex Ovechkin, scoring 700 goals. And he said to reporters, quote, "It's something we've given some consideration to over the years. As recently as last year, we discussed it with the general managers. It happens very, very rarely, but when it happens, it obviously raises everybody's attention to the issue and whether there are fixes that need to be made to that particular issue." Now, if I'm reading this correctly, this is from Frank Saravalli of TSN, who screenshotted a copy of the contract that the emergency backups have to sign. Their pay is $500, and they get to keep their jersey that they wear.
Now, that's $500 of pay. If you think for a second that players in that room haven't paid him more after that, you're out of your mind.
Yes, I'm sure the Carolina Hurricanes pooled their money together and got him a nice chunk of change
yes.
for helping them win a game, a very important game. But the question is whether or not, while as great of a story as David Ayers has been over the past few days, does Chris Versteeg have any argument that it's not a good look for the NHL for amateur slash beer league goaltenders to play in professional games?
No, he doesn't. What's the other solution? That's my question. Because what are you better off doing? First off, this happens very rarely. Maybe once a year, but probably not even that often does this happen.
The most recent before this one was Scott Foster with the Chicago Blackhawks, which I think was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so this does not happen very often. You're in a situation where you need to have both of your goaltenders hurt in order for this to take place, which is very rare that even one goalie gets hurt, much less two in the same game. So you're not talking about a situation where this happens very often. But what's the solution? Like, so you don't want an amateur goalie in the net. So what do you do? Do you put a guy who's played forward his entire career and strap goalie pads on him and put him in the net? What are you better off doing at that point?
I think
making an NHL player who's a forward, sticking him in net instead of going with a guy who is at least used to playing goaltender and playing the position. I mean, I think this argument is just ludicrous.
I think one potential solution, and I've seen it being floated around, the idea of teams carrying a third goaltender, basically each team employing a full-time emergency backup, that makes a modest salary, nowhere near league minimum, probably makes, I would say they probably would make slightly more than an ECHL player. Like, so it's basically like an ECHL level goaltender being on the roster of an NHL team just in case of absolute emergency.
But what's the difference in that? If you have an ECHL level goaltender,
because at least he's a professional versus an amateur.
But these guys that Dave Ayers, these guys you're talking about, the Predators emergency goaltenders that they have, it's not like they haven't played goaltender before. They
right.
played it at a pretty high level. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this position. They practice with the team. They practice, like Dave Ayers, he practiced with the Marlies. He practiced with the Maple Leafs. Like, it's not like you're doing this. So if you're worried about watering down the product and the NHL, the integrity of the game aspect of it, is putting in an ECHL level goaltender any better? Like, I think this whole argument is stupid. And this goes back to the NHL. Every time something good happens and you've got a positive story, which, by the way, has been talked about all throughout the country, regardless of what, if it's a sports channel, he's been on Good Morning America, he was on the Stephen Colbert Show, like he's been all over the place. You have people talking in a positive light about your sport, which, let's be honest here, unless you're a big-time hockey fan or you're watching on a sports network, it never happens that way. Nobody is ever talking about the NHL that's not a sports show or a sports television program. It's amazing to me that we're even having this conversation. I mean, this is not something that happens all the time. Just deal with it. It's really not that big a deal.
I'd be curious to hear from listeners. You can call in at 615-737-1025. You can text in as well just for your take on the David Ayers story in general and whether or not the NHL should do something about it, whether or not Chris Versteeg, who we listened to off the top of the segment, has a point. And one thing about the emergency backup goaltender situation, I know he made the connection or the he made the comparison to if the Dallas Cowboys had three quarterbacks injured, would they go to downtown Dallas and find a guy off the street who maybe played flag football? It's a little bit different just because of the specialized nature of the position, also just how many players are on an NHL roster versus other professional sports, particularly football and baseball. I guess one approximation could be the a position player pitching in a baseball game, but oftentimes that happens when the game is out of reach. I think there's a specific amount of runs a team might have to be up by in order for that to happen, but you only see it in blowouts. This was a legitimate game with major playoff implications, so I'd be curious to hear what the listeners have to say about the topic.
Yeah, Nate writes in and texts in, says, I think the Ayers emergency goalie situation is being blown up so much because it happened in Toronto. If
that
this game was
a
Hurricanes and Panthers game, would it really be that big of a deal? I don't think it'd even be a story. I mean, like I said, it's not the first time this has happened in the NHL's history. So I do think the fact that it happened in Toronto against the Maple Leafs, and oh, by the way, the Maple Leafs lost the game, which, by the way, is hilarious. That's why this has been that big of a deal.
It was a no-win situation, as their general manager, Kyle Dubas, put it, because if they would have won that game, there would have been conspiracy theories about whether or not David Ayers blew the game for the Hurricanes so that the Maple Leafs could win.
James is called in wanting to weigh in on this topic about emergency goalies. James, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, man, I think the last guy just stole my thunder, but absolutely, man. There is the coincidence that, you know, the Maple Leafs lose a game to an emergency backup, and now all of a sudden there's an outcry about this. You know, I mean, we haven't really – if it's been going on behind the scenes, that's one thing, but there hasn't been this outcry in the media about, oh, there's – all of a sudden there's a problem with this and everything. I just feel like it's silly. You know, I mean, give people a shot. There's not a really a better answer here. Just leave it the way that it is.
Thanks for the call, James. I'm 100% with you. Like, let's be honest here. If both of your goaltenders go down in a game, regardless of what situation you want to institute, whether you go about hiring a full-time goalie that serves as your emergency goalie that maybe has ECHL-level talent, like, is it really that much of a difference? Like, if both of your goalies that you pay to play for your NHL team, if they both go down in the same game, most of the time, you're not winning that game. It doesn't matter who's in net.
No.
Like, at that point, that game pretty much is a lost cause. And, oh, by the way, they did win this game. I mean, he was the first emergency goaltender in NHL history to actually record the win and get credit for the win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, there's all these great options just floating around out there for NHL teams if both of their goalies get hurt in the same game. At that point, I mean, your chances of winning the game on most nights are going to be pretty small.
Right. And I agree with the idea that it's very rare, and Sean touched on this as well, it's very rare that this happens. But it just goes back to what I was saying. I don't think Christopher Stieg's opinion has been beloved. I've seen a lot of negative reaction to it. As I mentioned, you know, kind of a party pooper. But I understand the point of view. I do. I just don't think it requires a significant response.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Lots of fun topics of college basketball to get into it with him next. But before we do that, Adam, you have a word about an MLS kickoff this week here at 102.5 The Game.
Yes, we talked to Drake Hills earlier in the show about Nashville FC's first MLS game, and ESPN 102.5 The Game is kicking off the inaugural MLS season this Friday at Tin Roof on Demumbrian, starting the party early at 10 and going until 6. You can stop by to catch a live show with Darren, Donick, and Chase, as well as Jared and the GM. Every hour, we'll be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match against Atlanta United. Happy hour starts at 2 with great food and drink specials. It's the Nashville FC inaugural MLS season kickoff party this Friday at Tin Roof, Demumbrian. Live shows from 10 to 6. Tickets to Saturday's game and great food and drink specials. We are in. Be in with us.
When we come back, Dan Wolkin of USA Today will be our guest. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.